our inheritance. I'm the youngest of five, that I think I've told you that before, and my parents have both been deceased now for 5 years. And before they were deceased, they had given up most of their land and their property and everything else. They moved around in a fifth wheeler most of the time from child to child to child. So as I've heard about people's inheritance, I kind of wondered, what was my inheritance? What did I receive from those who brought me into this world? And I realized that from my parents, I received this great sense of hope, the sense that anything could be accomplished if we just persevered, that no matter what obstacles came before us, we could find a way to accomplish that which we set out to do. I also realized that from my father, I got a great sense of humor. From my mother, I learned that if you didn't succeed at first, you tried again, because I had to rip out I don't know how many seams that she thought I didn't sew straight. But those were the things of my earthly parents that I received. But I also received, through the gift of my ancestors, the knowledge that there was a God and a child of God that I was. I received that even though I stepped away, moved far, far away from any thought of being a Christian. But my mother, her mother, my father's mother, all continually put God and Jesus Christ before me so that I could become an heir just like each of you in the kingdom of God. That we are heirs together. Did you gather that as you heard the reading from Ephesians this morning? That we are not just individual heirs to the gift of eternal life through our salvation. We are heirs as the body of Christ for the gifts that God would give us. Now, in this particular letter, there were three particular things that Paul wanted us to pay attention to. So, if you have your Bibles open, you can look at them. If not, you don't have to. But he says to us here, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, this is our inheritance, a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. We are given the gift of revelation and wisdom as we come to know him. The more we study and get to know our Lord, the wiser and more God reveals who God is to us. So that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe? So these are our gifts. There is a hope to which we have been all called. What is the hope? The hope is for our salvation, but also the hope that Christ had for the salvation of the world. That our hearts mightn't be enlightened to know what is the hope to which we have been called. How have we been called to share the hope to the world? Because that is what we have been given. That is the call upon our hearts. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, go and make of disciples. The riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. So I asked someone at 8:30, what was the richness of our inheritance? What was the richest gift God gave you? What was the richest gift God gave you? And the answer was, my salvation. My salvation. God's gift of love for you was that you might be saved and that you might hear that calling, that others might know that they too can be saved. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the works of his great power? We know those of us who have received that gift that we could not do it on our own power, but through the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we, church, we who are the body of Christ, have been given this gift of eternal life, this gift of salvation, but also this gift of community that Christ calls the church. And as the church, we have an inheritance. And our inheritance is the receiving of that call upon our communal lives to proclaim the message of salvation to the world so that the world might be saved. The passage this morning ended, "And he has made all things under his feet and has made him," Christ, "the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." We, brothers and sisters in Christ, are Christ represented here in the world as the church. And it is through us that God can use God's power to transform the world so that the world might be saved. This morning, I can imagine all of you have been thinking about saints in your lives, saints who brought forth to you the message of salvation. I have heard a few names bantered around here since I first got appointed. There's an Ella Ellington I've heard about. There was a Woodliff that I've heard about, whose recipe for making the communion bread has been passed from mother to daughter and beyond. All of us know the people who have shared the message of salvation, that we are joint heirs, that we are heirs together, that the world might think it's going to win. The world might tell us that the story of the world's wonder and power is great, but our God is greater, and it is love that wins. And the way the world knows it is when we show it, when we take that inheritance we have received from God through our relationship with, through Jesus Christ, and we share that with the world will be transformed by the power of God. And if you believe that, I think you should say amen. Amen. Do you truly believe it? Or was that a maybe amen? Do you believe that love wins? Amen. Amen. Do you believe that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can move through us and change the world? Amen. Praise the Lord. Because God can. Not only can God, but God will. And before I move us to our time of Holy Communion and feasting with the Lord and remembering His power and remembering His glory, I want to share with you a different translation of the Scripture, because I think it says it better than me and better than, well, no, not better than God. Eugene Peterson wrote a particular translation called The Message. It's an interpretation, it's not a translation. But I want you to hear again the words that I read out of the New Revised Standard Version. Listen to how he tells us Paul's words. "It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for." Think about that. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. Long before we first heard of Christ, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. It's in Christ that you once heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. The signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. That's why When I heard the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus, your outpouring of love to all the Christians, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. Endless energy, boundless strength. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. Now, this part I really love. No name and no power exempt from his rule. Remember that. There is no government, no power exempt from God's rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. And at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. And then he goes on. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. Do we do that in our lives? Do we put God first or the world first? The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Think about that, brothers and sisters. The church is how God fills the world with God's presence. We are heirs together. We are the ones who, through us, God's holy power and Holy Spirit fills the world with the presence of God. All God asks us is to love God and to love our neighbors. Can we do that? Let's start with each other. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.